The Selfish Path to Romance. Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com.
Here's an email from Amanda. Question. Hi, Dr. Kenner. I have a 5-year-old son. He's been having issues. He don't listen at school or home. At home, he tears the sheetrock off the walls. So picture that. I mean, this is one heck of a strong 5-year-old. I remember trying to carry sheetrock, and it's one of the worst back-breaking memories in my life. We were building our own home. So you've got a 5-year-old strong enough, angry enough to tear sheetrock off the wall. Amanda continues, he destroys toys. He mouths off to us. He don't do what he's told. We have tried grounding him, spanking him, and nothing works. We need help. We are going crazy. Amanda, your 5-year-old, let's give him the name Joey. Your 5-year-old Joey is going crazy too. He's got parents who are telling him what to do, are grounding him, are spanking him, using physical force against him, and he doesn't know how to make sense of his world, and he's got so much anger pent up and doesn't have a rational way to express it, hasn't been taught that the parents were supposed to help civilize him have fallen short, and he's capable of tearing sheetrock off the wall. So you're like many, many parents who just don't know that there are much better skills out there. Grounding backfires, spanking backfires. So does that mean that you have to be a pushover? If you can't tell a kid what to do, then what? You got to order them around. You got to tell them what they have to do. You have to brush your teeth. You have to clean up your room. You have to do your homework. And you have to tell them what they can't do. You can't touch the hot stove. You can't stay out late. You can't have candy before dinner. So as parents, we always feel like we're in the police role. How do you deal with that? We can't force a kid's mind. Try forcing your husband or your wife's mind. You'll see them snap at you. Well, the same with kids. When you try to force a mind, this is what you've got to do now. I've structured your day. This is what you can't do. And the fun things you can't do. You want to play with your friends. You can't do that now. And there are all these punishments and penalties. Gosh, you know what? It's enough to make someone not want to be a parent. So how do you turn that around? Do you become a wimp and a pushover? Do whatever you want. Walk all over me. Ruin the house. Trash the house. I don't care. You become neglectful, or you become the hippies parent, the 1960s parent who just said, oh, cool, whatever goes, you know, you want to do dope, you want to steal, you know, who am I to say? Everybody has their own opinion, you know, just have fun in life. Or if you don't give a damn, you're also a very highly damaging parent, because indifference or neglect is even more painful than anger. If people have given you the silent treatment, it's easier to deal with their anger than the silent treatment. If people disdain you or ignore you or treat you as if you're invisible, it's one of the most poignantly painful things you'll ever go through. And I'm sure that all of us have had their moments of that happening. I had a sitter who refused to talk to me for a day, a babysitter. My parents were away for 3 weeks or a very long trip, and it felt awful to feel invisible. Or if you're with a partner who just doesn't value you anymore, you feel invisible. So that's not the alternative. So I have this huge buildup here. What am I going to tell you? Well, stay tuned. No, I'm not going to do that to you.
Hey, I got to interrupt this because we've got to pay some bills. 30 seconds, that's it. A very quick ad, and then Alan will be back.
Romance. I wish I knew more about what girls want from a relationship. Boy, I wish I knew more about what I want. Where's that ad I saw? Here it is. The Selfish Path to Romance, a serious romance guidebook. Download Chapter 1 for free at selfishromance.com and buy it at amazon.com. Huh. The Selfish Path to Romance. That is interesting.
So that's not the alternative. So I have this huge buildup here. What am I going to tell you? Well, stay tuned. No, I'm not going to do that to you. There's a wonderful book, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. It's on parenting. I also wrote a course, Parenting as It Should Have Been and Ought to Be and Should Have Been. I don't know the title right now. I'm trying to rattle it off here. Parenting as It Could Have Been and Ought to Be.
Close.
Yeah, it's close enough. And you can go to the Ayn Rand Bookstore.com.
Website.
Oh, and my website also, drkenner.com. That's my husband who's helping me in the back here. I adore him. So if you want better parenting methods, you need to learn the skills to reach your son's mind, Joey's five-year-old mind. Same with relationships. If you want to reach your husband's mind or your wife's mind, you can't order them around. You should have done this. I told you to do this. Why didn't you do this? Or you never reach a person's mind. So how do you reach a person's mind? First, you need to listen to him. What's he upset about? Why is he destroying toys? Where is that anger coming from? What do you remember in your own past? Did your parents listen to you or not? Would you have loved that? If you'd love, would have loved that, learn how to do what's called active listening. Don't listen for two sentences. Mommy, I'm really upset. Well, I know you're upset, but you have to put on a smiling face. You can't go through life upset. That's not listening. You just cut them off. Listen, I'm really upset. I don't know how to get along with the kids at school, or I'm having problems in math. Help me out here. Or, Mom, I don't like it when you and Daddy fight, or when Daddy comes home drunk. He also may have been abused. And if you don't let him talk, you'll just treat him as a bad kid who's tearing sheetrocks off the wall. Kids have a call for help sometimes when they act out a lot. They're hoping the parent will say, hey, what's up? And actively listen. So skill number one is learn how to draw your son out to actively listen. Tell me more. I want to hear more, honey. You sound so angry. We fight a lot. Tell me what else bothers you, and what else, and what else. And gather all your data before you come in with an approach. Then instead of punishing him for what he's disclosed, work towards solutions. Honey, I know you don't like to clean your room. Let's come up with a better solution. Do you need organizers? Do you want some help? Do you want some tips? What would help? So I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. I hope that helps you.
And here's a little more from Dr. Kenner.
Wouldn't it be more cruel for society to let people die when with some effort it could save them?
No.
Because the cruelty is not a question of saving someone's life or letting them die. The cruelty is that the choice is removed from the person concerned. I would like to be able to decide what happens to my own body.
Now that's really interesting, especially with what's been going on in the news. What do you pull the plug or not? And I know when my father-in-law was diagnosed with terminal liver cancer, the doctor pulled my husband and I aside, and we were saying, well, what do you do? You know, do you take invasive measures or not? He said, nah, he's in his late 80s. No doctor will operate on him at this age, and it doesn't make any sense to do it. He'll be dead before his next birthday. That was basically the diagnosis, and it was said fairly untactfully, but that's a separate issue. And then we said, well, maybe we should, you know, have hospice come in. And the doctor looked at us and he said, this is not your choice. I mean, he said it a little nicer than that, but he wasn't a very tactful doctor. He said, this is your father-in-law's choice, or this is your father's choice. It wasn't our choice. And that was exactly how they worked. They walked in and they gave my father, the hospice people came, they were much nicer than the doctor, and they gave my father-in-law the choices, and he chose hospice. And he had a very, as much as you can say this, a very lovely death. I mean, he didn't suffer in pain. He didn't have to go through invasive procedures. Now, my mother-in-law was presented with the same option. What do you do? They could no longer feed her. All of her veins had collapsed. They would have needed invasive procedures. She needed oxygen. Her lungs were filling with fluid, and she was dying. And what did they do? Did they prolong her life with terribly invasive measures, and that's what they said, she would die in the hospital with a lot of tubes in her and up her and all around her, and it would be painful for her, and some of the pain they would not be able to kill, or she could have hospice come in. It was not our decision. My husband by that time knew, and he said, listen, would you have a few people at the nursing home ask her? I want her doctor to ask her. I want a nurse to ask her. And that's what, well, the nurse had asked her first, but he had independent people asking my mother-in-law, and she made the decision that she would rather live without all of those invasive procedures. Essentially, she chose to die. So I do believe it is your own right to make that choice, and that it's wonderful that we have life-preserving measures, assuming that your life is not going to be one of torture and pain and chronic deep pain. I mean, that's awful, and it's your choice at that point.
For more Dr. Kenner podcast, go to drkenner.com, and please listen to this ad.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
Help protect one another against stress. Consider Sandra, who felt overwhelmed by stress. Although her job was intellectually challenging, her boss was bad-tempered and critical. He never praised good work and constantly blamed subordinates for bad results, most of which were due to his own poor leadership. The hours were long and unrelenting, often including weekends. Sandra went home every day in a tense and resentful mood. After this went on for some months, she asked for help. Her partner Scott suggested she seriously consider quitting her job, taking a rest for a while, and then searching for something better. He showed her how their budget could be adjusted to compensate for her lost salary. Sandra took his advice and her stress diminished dramatically. She subsequently found a better job with much less stress.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.